Amen. Praise the Lord. Just got to shrug off the things of the world that try to get on you. Amen. Amen. There's only one way to face this world, and that's with joy.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Right. Who is it that said? Is it Brother Kenneth Copeland who said, if you just act right in church, you would never need a gym membership?
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory Amen. To God. You glad to be in the house of the Lord here tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Praise. Let's just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Father, we glorify You. We bless You, Father. 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 Praise You, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to You, Father. Let's just wait on the Lord. Let's just praise Him and worship Him. Father, we glorify You. Father, I'm prepared for, to preach a sermon here tonight. But Lord, it doesn't have to go that way. It's whatever You want, Lord. We just praise You. We wait on You. We just give You all the praise and glory. We give You all the praise and glory. We give You all the praise and glory, Lord. We bless You and we worship You. Father, You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. We just thank You. You're the one that feeds us every single day. You're the one that cares for us every single day. Father, You're the one that clothes us and gives us a home to live in. Father, You give us a great church family. Father, You've provided every need. You've paid every debt. Father, You're so good. Thank You. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Father, we thank You. We are kept by the power of God. Father, we thank You. We are kept by Your power. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. We bless You. We bless You. We bless You, Lord God. We bless You, Father. We bless You, Father. We praise You, Father. We just worship You. We glorify You, Father. Well, just praise Him and worship Him. Just wait upon Him. Bless You, Lord God. You're so good. You're so holy. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Blessed is Your holy name. Blessed is Your holy name. Blessed, 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 blessed is Your holy name. Praise You, Father. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Pastor Jeff, come on up here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 You're stepping up into a new season and a greater anointing in the pastor's office. You're stepping into a new season where you won't be under or upon the faith of another, but you'll be under your faith, the faith of your family, in your church family. And there's a greater anointing coming on you to pastor and to minister, and utterance is coming on you, and you'll sense a new utterance as you speak to your people, both in counseling and in service. You'll sense the anointing of God coming out of your mouth like a substance. And it'll be directed right at the people. It'll hit them. It'll change their life. They'll receive it with joy. The anointing of God will flow from you in this new season. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. A greater anointing to pastor. A greater anointing in administrative things. A greater anointing, a greater leadership. A greater influence in your community. Yeah, yeah, yep. Eyes are on you in that community. Eyes are on you in that community. Eyes are on you in that community. It's a quick work. It's a quick work. What was prophesied from before, it's a quick work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for it. Father, we thank You for it. Father, we thank You for those souls in Mayville. We thank You for that precious church that is being ministered to by Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee. Father, we thank You for what You have there. We thank You. It's a mighty work. Lord God, one of utterance. Yeah, yeah, that's what I hear. It's like a substance will come out of your mouth. And It's in the spirit. It's like a substance. It'll hit them and it'll provide direction for them, correction. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you'll prophesy over your church, and they might not even know it or recognize it yet as prophecy, but it will be inspired utterance, and you'll speak things into their life, and there'll be a divine movement of greater provision, greater health, greater joy. Opportunities will move into the lives of your people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 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 Glory to you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we magnify you, Father. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We just praise you, Lord God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory to you, Father. We praise you and bless you. Father, you're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Blessed is your name, Father. 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 Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Allie, come up here. Come on up here, Allie. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just worship God. Let's just worship Him. Father, we praise you and we glorify you. We praise you and we glorify you. Praise you, Father. We glorify you. Oh, you've been stable in an unstable environment. You have weathered many storms. Stay faithful. Keep worshiping God. He sees you. You're not forgotten by any means. He sees your faithfulness. Your reward's on the other side. Your reward's coming. It's coming to you. It's coming to you. It's coming to you. It won't be like this forever. It won't be like this forever. People see you and their eyes are upon you and they see your influence and they see your steadiness. Yeah, yeah, you're ministering to people's hearts and your family, and they might not say anything to you, but you are. You're being an example. So stay steady. Stay steady. Keep going. Fulfill the course. Praise the Lord. Your reward is around the corner. There's great reward for you right around the corner. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The plan is good. The plan is so good. The plan is so good. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. She's blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Your eyes are not on me right now. Your eyes are not on me right now. Just worship Him and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Praise you, Father. We praise you and glorify you, Father. Blessed is your name. Hallelujah. Kate, come on out here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just bless Him. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's greater revelation coming to you in your private time. There's greater revelation. An increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing. Yeah. And you'll see things and you'll speak things out in your prayer time that will change the lives of many. Glory to God. So you're stepping up into a new level of revelation. An increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Praise you, Lord. Let's just worship Him. Hey, maybe we'll teach tonight. Maybe we won't. We'll just, Father, whatever you want to do. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Maria, praise the Lord. Come on out here. Glory to the Lord. Blessed is your name, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's rewards coming to you and to your husband for your faithfulness and for willing to serve and be used even in the invisible ministry where people aren't seeing you, but the result, the fruit of your labor is apparent. Oh, Father, we thank you. We bless you. And as I lay hands on you, great reward, fresh oil, fresh anointing, a refreshing from heaven. That's what I hear, a refreshing, a refreshing, a refreshing. No longer tired, no longer tired, no longer tired, no longer tired, but a refreshing in Jesus' name. Yep, yep, yeah, no longer tired, no longer tired, no longer tired. Glory to God. Fresh oil. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Father, we just praise you tonight. We worship you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we magnify you, Father. Blessed is your holy name. Blessed is your holy name. Oh, we magnify you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just wait on him. We're not in any kind of schedule. We're not in any kind of hurry. Let's just wait on him. Praise you, Lord. We bless you tonight. Praise you, Father. Father, we glorify you. Father, we glorify you. We glorify you. Yeah. Yeah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bobby and Kara, will you come up here, please? Bobby and Kara. Praise the Lord. Father, we worship you. We bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just worship him. Just worship him. Blessed is your name. Father, blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed, 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 blessed is your name, Father. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. An anointing to assist, an anointing to help. Hallelujah. And the desire of your heart being given to you. The desire of your heart being given to you in this service, when you sit down or when you're on the floor, wherever you are, you make known to the Lord the desire of your heart, and he'll grant it to you. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, receive it. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, receive it. Glory to God. The desire of your heart. Tell them what it is. Everyone else, we're worshiping God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Father. So many times we just don't tell God what it is we're desiring of him. You got to tell him. Got to tell him. He knows already, but we have to tell him. It's our voice that's required. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Father. Let's just worship him. Oh, we glorify you. Oh, we glorify you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We just give you all the praise and glory. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. 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 Praise you, Lord. 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 Blessed is the name of God. Blessed is the name of God. Blessed is the name of God. Father, thank you. We love you. Father, you're so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Let's glorify you. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Brenda, can you come out here, please? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your hunger hasn't gone unnoticed. Your hunger is noticed and is pleasing to the Lord. And the Bible says those that hunger after thirst, they thirst after righteousness. They hunger after righteousness. They'll be blessed and they'll be filled. They'll be blessed and they'll be filled and they'll be blessed and they'll be filled and they'll be blessed and they'll be filled. So be blessed and filled in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Yeah. Yes, worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessing on your life. Blessing on your life. Glory to God. Just worship Him. Just thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Master. Yes. Father, we just glorify you. Father, we thank you tonight. Your will being done. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Brenda, I'm going to lay my hands on you again. When I do, the fire of God is going to just shoot through your body. Amen. He's just going to bless you. He's going to touch you. Amen. Glory to God. Just standing back just again. Jesus' name be glorified. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of God. Blessed is the name of God. Blessed is the name of God. Praise you, Father. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you come hungry for the Word here tonight? Yeah. We're hungry for the Word. It's our help. And you think, well, how do we preach the Word, you know, after that? Listen, the anointing of God, it helps us preach and teach the Word. You know, so many times people say, oh, it's a Holy Ghost service. Can't preach the Word in that environment. Listen, you know, you remember what Brother Hagin said all the time. He said, a Holy Ghost service is first and foremost where the Word of God is taught. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be here tonight? Yeah. Isn't it good to be here tonight? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, there's something that just charges the atmosphere. I knew I was praying this morning, and I just saw this service, you know, and that doesn't happen every time, but I just knew that I knew that I knew that it would be a service that, you know, people just need to break out, you know, just respond in joy. You know, I can sense when there's things, you know, in people's lives in the church, when they're carrying a heaviness or a burden. And I mean, it could be just something, you know, small up to, you know, some bigger trials or whatever. Listen, the world doesn't dictate our, you know, our joy. Doesn't tell us when we can have joy and when we can't, you know. My joy isn't based on the weather or how cold it is or how warm it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. My joy is based on Jesus. Joy is in me. I have no excuse, right? Because it's with us all the time. Let's go back over there to Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, don't stop drawing on the Word. You know, praise the Lord. You know, and I'm just kind of going to take a little pause here in teaching on prayer. And, you know, the Lord's will be done Sunday morning. And we'll see if we pick that right back up. But I just knew, I saw this service, that there was a different plan for this service. Hallelujah. And see what happens when you respond in joy. See, maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking, well, I saw other people get called out and get blessed and, you know, and things like that. But if you responded in joy during praise and worship, you contributed toward that. You contributed toward that. You know what I mean? And don't let the selfish thoughts, you know, run away in your head like, well, I wasn't called out. That doesn't mean God didn't have something for you here tonight. You know, I can just go by what I'm led to do and, You know, and there's times I've been led just to lay hands on everybody, and not to say that we still won't do that here tonight. You know, but, you know, you need to realize that you bring a supply that contributes to the atmosphere for everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5, and we're going to start here in verse 22 where I was in the pre-sermon. Yeah. Galatians 5, 22. You know, I'll tell you what, joy. That's the flow of God. And joy is not when just something good happens to you. You know, some people, they're just waiting to feel joy. They're waiting to have a reason to have joy. Listen, you already have joy. You just got to get what's on the inside and put it on the outside. Look at this here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, literally in the Greek, you could read it this way. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. You, literally, you could read it this way. The fruit of the born-again Spirit of God, right? In you. Okay? Yeah, the Holy Ghost in you, your born-again spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, right? We know Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. It's in there.
Yes, amen.
What is that, ragu? What is that? It's in there? Prego? What is that? Which one? What are those ones? It's in there. Remember those old spaghetti sauce commercials? They stir it up and they taste it. It's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, what was that, like 20 years ago or something? I don't even know. You know, it's funny, you can start to sense yourself getting a little older when all of a sudden you remember commercials, and you know, like they're yesterday and they were like 25 years ago. I don't know, maybe that wasn't that long ago. I don't remember, but it's in there, right? No Christian can ever say, I just can't love somebody. I just can't treat them right. I just don't have it in me. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil to say that you can't treat somebody right. You can treat them right every single time. Why? Because it's in there already. It's the fruit of the born-again spirit that is inside of you right now. You know, the love of God, if you're born again, is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can sense our guy Bobby over here on staff, you know, who does a lot of our Facebook images and stuff. I can see him already working on a Prego, ragu, Prego. It's in there. You know, you're going to get home tonight on Facebook. There's going to be some spaghetti sauce. Just check us on Facebook. Amen. It'll probably go viral. It's in there. You already have it. So I can't deal with this person. Yes, you can. All the love that God ever put on the inside, it's in there right now. You can never dare say, I just can't handle so-and-so. Yes, you can. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. No, the second thing, joy. So if the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you could say the joy of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You know? And people say, well, I'm just having a down day. Well, why? That the only way you could have a down day if it's in your mind. The only way you could have a down day is in your thoughts. Because in your spirit, there's always joy. And yes, we understand what it is to have a trial, you know, in the thoughts and emotions, and you feel those certain things. We don't deny that we are, you know, we have an emotional realm and you do feel those things. We're not trying to say, oh, I don't feel that. I don't feel that way. Well, no, you know, you can't prevent all feelings and emotions from coming to you. But if you're having a down day, it must be in your thoughts or in your emotions, because it sure isn't in your spirit.
Right?
Amen. Why? Because the joy of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Joy is in there. And see, when we're in church, you know, when I exhorted us earlier, that was just to encourage you to go ahead and get what's on the inside and put it on the outside. Because all of these are fruit of the Spirit. That means you can see them, right? They're evident. They're on the outside. People say, well, trust me, I got the joy in my heart. Well, I already know you got the joy in your heart. I already know that. But the question is, are you going to put it on the outside where it does you some good? It starts from the outside, you know, the inside, but it has to come to the outside. Amen. You can't just say, well, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, but I just treat everybody like trash. That's not putting the love of God on the outside. Praise the Lord. Joy is the same thing. Amen. You're going to have to take it from the inside and put it on the outside. You know, glory to God. Then it goes on to say, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering. That's the King James way of saying patience or extreme patience. Long-suffering. You ever known anybody that makes you feel like you are long-suffering with them? Oh, well, I guess you're so spiritual, you know, you've never felt that way about somebody. Long-suffering with them. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I've had so many people, you know, in the church, you know, they might think of an individual or, you know, a bunch of different individuals or something and say, oh, somebody, they just get on my nerve. Pastor, how do I deal with so-and-so? How do I deal with so-and-so? How do I deal with so-and-so? With the love of God. The love of God is long-suffering. So people say, well, I'm at the end of my rope with this person. You shouldn't have a rope with that person. I'm not saying you let someone tread on you and, you know, I'm not talking about step on you forever. I'm talking about people that just might annoy you, might get on your last nerve, people that you just, you know, can't abide. You know, you're just, you know, they're tap dancing on your last nerve and things like that. People say, well, I'm just at the end of my rope with so-and-so. Well, why do you have such a short rope? You know, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And of course, I'm focusing on joy. And of course, I said this already, there's no limit. There's no limit to joy. You know, like the speed limit is a law. It limits how fast you can go. I think it's just a good suggestion. When I drive, I look for, what's the speed suggestion in here? What's the speed suggestion? Praise the Lord. But what that is, that's a law to limit. But isn't it, how many of you have cars that are able to go faster than the speed limit?
Oh, yeah.
Woo, glory to God. Yeah, well, you know, the devil might try to put a speed limit on your joy, but there is none. You've got something inside that goes a lot faster than any limit he would try to put on your joy. There's no limit to it. You know, and I encourage you, you know, I've been thinking about this lately, and I want to teach this, of course, starting with this group, that a lot of time we come together for service, and we've been taught, you know, how to flow in service and stuff, and we follow the platform, and that's absolutely true. You know, don't just jump up in the middle of the service, interrupt me preaching, and say you have something from God, or, you know, if we're all sitting here, you know, just, you know, feeding on the word, and all of a sudden you get up and scream, and rah! You know, and go into something that you call the Holy Ghost, well, that wouldn't fit, right? But in terms of when we're in praise and worship and it's time to cut loose with joy, you're authorized. You know, you don't have to wait for me to go for a run or even Pastor Brad to go for a run before you do, all right? And if you miss it, I'll let you know. Glory to God. But, I mean, there's no limit to joy. Now, you know what you would be doing something wrong is if you did something so you would get noticed. If your motive is to be noticed, or if it's a self-glorifying move, you know, like, hey, look at me. And there's been people in, you know, these last 9 years or whatever, there's people that have kind of, you know, at times have wanted to jump up and make sure they show everybody how spiritual they are, or, you know, they try to, you know, to lead the pack in terms of how loud they are. You know, we've had a few individuals that, you know, we had one individual one time, I mean, we were just praising and worshiping God, and he just decided, he did this whistle, he decided to put his fingers in his mouth, and he could do one of those ear-piercing whistles, and I mean, it was like, what? And I mean, it grieved everybody. Everyone's like, whoa, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, is it a fire whistle? Should we stop, drop, and roll? I mean, you know, what do we do? You know, and it was out of place. And of course, we addressed it, and it's like, well, that's how I praise and worship God. Well, you did it in a manner that was, you know, self-glorifying. You know, like, hey, everyone, look. Look at how I worship God. But if you're just praising and worshiping, you know, if we're in a church that's flowing and flowing in joy and stepping out, you know, there should be others with you. You know what I mean? Amen. Amen. Like tonight. I mean, it was just, the atmosphere was good. There was unction to do that. And when that unction is there, don't wait for me. Because a lot of times the pastor won't necessarily be the first to run because he or she is the one that has to listen for the voice of God and be led and judge the rest of the service and know where the service is going. And it's kind of difficult to do that when I'm doing laps. not saying I'll never, go for a run, so many times people are waiting for the pastor to be the first ones to step out and manifest some joy. No, you don't have to wait for me to do that. All right? Glory to God. So you're authorized. Let's just not be a church that's sitting there like, okay, I feel like I'm supposed to jump out and worship God. And I want to, just jump into that flow, but the pastor isn't moving that way yet. The pastor didn't go for a run, but everyone else is rejoicing and praising. Go ahead.
Sure.
If it fits the moment and there's an unction to do it, I'm never going to say, oh my goodness, that person just, we're in praise and worship and the worship team is ministering and that anointing and it's in the room and all of a sudden you jump up, do a dance, go for a run. I'm never going to say, hey, wait, I'm never going to put a speed limit on you.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if you do something that is obviously, self-glorifying. There's been people that have come to me and say, they bring their big white gowns. They say, Pastor, I'm here to dance before the Lord today. I say, no, you're not. And what they mean by that is that they have some choreographed thing where they're going to step up and show everybody their pretty little dance before God. No, not here. No, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about an atmosphere, an environment where there's praise and worship, just like tonight.
Yes.
Tonight was a great night to cut loose because the unction was there. And those of you that jumped in, stepped in, you're going to get blessed because you're going to see what it'll do for you here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, no limit, no forbidding. God forbid we have a church where joy is forbidden. And then verse 24 is what I was talking about before, praise and worship. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 24 isn't a change of topic. He's still talking about the fruit of the Spirit and living in the Spirit.
Yes.
How do you walk in the Spirit? Walk in love.
Yeah.
How do you walk in the Spirit? Walk in joy.
Amen.
How do you walk in live in the Spirit? Walk in peace.
Yes. That's right.
The walking in the Spirit is just putting the fruit of the Spirit on the outside. People think, the Bible says to walk in the Spirit or live in the Spirit, and people think it's like, no, it's not that. It's simply you walking in love, you walking in joy. All right, and it says crucifying the flesh with its lusts and passions. Notice the flesh doesn't always feel like acting in joy. Notice the flesh does not always want to respond in joy. Notice sometimes dancing in the Lord, praising Him and worshiping Him is going to be totally the opposite of what your body feels. Amen. Glory to God. I was sitting just meditating on these verses, and all of a sudden the light bulb went off. That verse 24 is still talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because you take the fruit of the Spirit and you crucify the flesh with them.
Yeah. Good.
You have to crucify the flesh to be patient with people, don't you? Don't you have to put your flesh under in dealing with folks sometimes? I don't know what is with this church. You are just so spiritual. You just must always smile at everybody, and you never have a negative thought against anybody. Oh, my goodness. Lay hands on me quick. I see people, I'm like, oh, my goodness, they are so sweet. Will you please minister to me? I need what you have, because sometimes thoughts just come through my head. You see people and you just think, what are they doing? Oh my goodness, I'm just going to tell you. I have refrained myself on Facebook from going onto the home, the news or whatever it is where it's everybody's posts.
Right.
I don't go on there. Because a few times I did, I saw a lot of people from the church posting the most ridiculous things in the whole wide world. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive me. I must be a rotten pastor. God, You know? And you deal with the thoughts, and you know, you got to crucify the flesh and the carnal mind and walk in love. And believe me, I don't say that because I've done everything right. I'm just saying that, you know, as a pastor, you know, just like with raising your own kids, you always just want to think that your kids are the best at everything. You know, you just wanted this, you know, you want to look at my kid. You want to, you know, be proud of your kids in the right way. Well, and the same thing is true when it comes to pastoring a church. You know, and I'd scroll down, you know, through there, and I would see what people are posting, classic rock lyrics, you know, and all this stuff. I'm like, what? You know, rotten, awful things, confessions coming out of their mouth. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Feeling rotten today. You know, I'm like, feeling rotten today. You know, I'm like, why would you? And again, if that's something you really want to confess out of your mouth, why share it with the world on Facebook? You know that we preach around here that you aren't your feelings, and you don't have to, you don't have to live according to your feelings. But that, you know, but I do understand that sometimes those feelings come to you. But don't give a voice to the wrong feelings. Don't take the soulish realm and the mental realm and bring it to life and give it a voice and tell everybody how rotten you feel. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, it's a down Monday, .. Feeling low today. I saw someone post the Pink Floyd lyrics. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fish bowl. This isn't just I'm not talking about unbelievers or someone that was newly saved, you know. I'm thinking, this individual's been here for years. What do you mean you're a lost soul swimming in a fish bowl? I remembered when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why would you ever confess, you know? Oh, my goodness. You know, and so... I'm making the point that sometimes, you know, thoughts come to you about, you look and see what people are doing, like, what are they thinking, you know? But how do you handle it? You walk in love. Because by natural sense, you know, you would just like to pull someone aside like that and just chew them out. just tell them, well, wait. You know, and sometimes if you have that kind of relationship with somebody, you can do that. But most of the time, you can't. In love, you can choose somebody out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But most times, you know, you just got to, you know, put those thoughts under and say, oh, you know, like Brother Hagin said, bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I know dealing with people, you're all just professionals at it, but I still have to crucify my flesh. You're going to have to crucify your flesh. Well, you're going to have to crucify your flesh to step out in joy.
Yeah, right.
You know, there were some of you here tonight when people started running and dancing and praising, there was something on the inside of you telling you, like, you know that's right, you want to step out, but there's some inhibition that's holding you back. Something that's got you in a box, I dare you, next time, break out of that box. You know, and show God that He is worth more to you than your personality. I dare you, because my personality is not to do that. That is not my personality, but that's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, you would say it this way, if we live in joy, yeah, we walk in the Spirit, right? If we live in peace, we walk in the Spirit. If we live in love, we walk in the Spirit. Glory to God, it's not difficult to live a life in the Spirit. Some people think that to walk in the Spirit, you're constantly seeing angels. You're constantly seeing demons. You know, you're constantly seeing visions of Jesus, and people get this spectacular definition of what it means to live in the Spirit. What it first means to live in the Spirit is walk in love.
Amen.
You know, It's amazing to me. I've talked to people that are always seeing angels and demons all the time, but they can't treat people right. Maybe one of those angels will tell you to be nice. You know, I see. I mean, I know a demon won't tell you that. But I'm thinking, well, my goodness, you're seeing Jesus all the time in these visions. You're seeing, you know, angels and demons, and yet they don't live right. They don't treat people right. You know, you're only as spiritual as your love walk.
Yes.
Do you understand that? Oh. Yep. And if there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I am so glad I'm not my feelings. You know, I am so glad that I don't have to live on every impulse that comes into my head. You know, we have a laugh and we talk kind of jokingly and lightheartedly about those feelings. When I was, you know, talking about the Facebook thing, I'm joking around about the feelings that come to us all. You know, maybe it's someone at your work that you see messing up, or someone that's under your leadership that's just continuing messing up, and you just want to grill them or whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, you better crucify your flesh, right? Walk in love. People, you know, family members, come on. You know, have you ever had thoughts against family members? I mean, is there anybody that has had a relative that just, I mean, just, they're like a negative thought factory in your life? They are, you know, I get a picture in my head. Remember the old Play-Doh sets? You'd see those commercials on TV, and some kid would just be stuffing that Play-Doh down in that thing, and he'd throw that lever, and it would come out like spaghetti, and the star shape, and it's like, and it's just boo, and it's pouring out. That's how I think, you know, sometimes there's family, you know, they're just stuffing and cramming in negative thoughts, and they're just churning it out in your direction. And they're like a thought factory, a negative thought factory in your life. Oh my goodness, I'm really revealing myself. Have you ever experienced those thoughts? Some of you are looking at me real weird tonight. This is what happens when the Holy Ghost starts using me and things, and it just, you know, I'm trying to wade through it here because I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm just seeing clouds. Praise the Lord. I guess none of you have ever had negative thoughts against family members. Come on, help me out. Someone, even if you never have, just please agree with me. I'll tell you what, you'll have to use your love walk with your family. You will have to. I'm guaranteeing. And maybe you just have the world's most perfect family. Well, God bless you, but for the rest of us, you're going to have to crucify your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Amen. Go over to James chapter 1. Glory to God. But that's what the point I'm trying to make is that you don't have to live by your feelings. It doesn't matter how many negative feelings the devil bombards you with today, you are not your thoughts. I am so glad. Oh, my goodness. I am not my thoughts. When the devil bombards me with financial pressure, those aren't my thoughts.
Right.
That's not me. I don't have to live by that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1, you know where I'm going. Verse 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's no law against joy. There's no limit to joy. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Crucify your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in joy.
Yes, that's right.
So obviously joy can't be a feeling.
Yeah, right.
Because if it takes the feelings of the flesh to be crucified for you to walk in it, it's obviously not a feeling. Obviously joy is not an emotion, at least not first in the mind of God. It's not an emotion. But it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah. And so just like with the rest of them, you're going to have to choose to walk in that. Amen. James 1:2. And of course, we read this scripture, and we might even include verse 3 and 4. But really, there is an entire passage here. Again, he doesn't get off topic. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The word temptations means trials or troubles. When you fall into different trials and troubles, count it all joy. I'm so glad that scripture didn't say feel it all joy. It didn't say see it all joy. It said count it all joy. Again, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, amen. You know, sometimes there's people that are walking around with an incredible amount of guilt because of the thoughts that come against them or that come into their head about certain individuals. They think, if I was really a holy Christian of God, those thoughts would not ever enter my mind. Oh, the more you do seek and pursue God, the more thoughts will come against your mind. So don't you dare accept guilt or shame for the thoughts that try to get into your brain. You understand that? Praise the Lord. You know? And again, people will feel guilty because they're part of a faith church. We believe in confessing faith. We believe in saying, by His stripes, I'm healed. The Bible says, let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Yep. God calls those things that be not as though they are, right? Praise the Lord. So we believe in that. We believe in holding fast our confession of faith. Praise the Lord. Okay? But sometimes, you know, people start to feel guilty and they start allowing shame in their life because here they are, they're part of a faith church, but yet their head starts getting filled with all these thoughts of negativity. Listen, don't ever forget this. You can have doubt in your head, but still have faith in your heart. I have lived that so many times. There are so many times when I'm praying for individuals or praying about a situation or a need, whether it's at the church or for my home. Listen, you can have doubt in your head, but still have the faith of God in your heart. Because the thought life isn't you. I'm not my thoughts. I am not the fruit of my thoughts. You understand that? I don't have to be subject to every whim of the thought life. You understand? So that's why the Bible says, count it all joy. You don't have to feel it all joy. And people say, well, it can't be joy. I don't feel it. No, that's the joy of God isn't felt. So you know what I mean? You don't have to work up a feeling to choose to walk in the joy of God. I'm going to just tell you, know how easy it is to walk in joy? It is this easy. When you wake up or wherever you are in your day, I choose to walk in the joy of the Lord. Amen. It is just that simple. I choose joy right now. I'm not going to get down about the bad report. I'm not going to be weighed down by the burden or the news, the circumstances, or whatever just came to me. I choose to count it joy. Amen. You just have to count it all joy. Praise the Lord. Because there's only one way you handle trials and troubles, and that's with joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And you think, well, oh, he just switched the topic from joy to faith. No, he didn't. He's still talking about joy.
Yeah,
Reverend Tony mentioned something just like this during praise and worship when he exhorted there. You know, he talked about faith and joy being the same. You know, he mentioned that. You know, and that's absolutely right. You know, a lot of time people think, well, I'm in faith about something, but I don't have any joy about it. Wrong. You can't have faith and joy separately. Okay? Meaning you can't be in faith but not have joy. Joy and faith always work together. Faith will always have joy, and joy is always faith. People say, well, I'm in faith about it, but I haven't gotten the joy about it yet. Oh, then no, then you don't have faith about it. Faith and joy will always work together. They go together, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You could also use the word faith and joy interchangeably here. You could say it this way, knowing this, that the trying of your joy works patience.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. So notice the transgression here, or the, not the transgression. Notice the transgression. What's the word I'm looking for? The transition, the translation, no? Yeah, one of those. You know what I mean. Glory to God. Yeah, the progression. I think that's what I'm looking for. That doesn't start with a T, but kind of has some similar. Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. The transgression. Listen, if you can't laugh at yourself, you got a problem. You know, I've always said this, that in ministry, I take the things of God very seriously, but I don't take myself too seriously. You know what I mean by that? I take the pastor, the office of a pastor, very seriously. But, you know, you have pride if, you know, you're so scared of being embarrassed in front of people. Pastor Michael, he always said, if you're embarrassed, you're in pride.
Yeah, right.
And I, man, there was the day when I first started pastoring, I was embarrassed every Sunday, something I said or whatever, and now I'm free. And you know just how free I am. You can tell by the way I'm acting tonight. Glory to God. I'm free of it. I'm free of it. You know, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, the greatest freedom you can have is the freedom from the opinion of man.
Amen.
When you are free from what people think of you, man, you will live for God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So look at the progression. Joy, faith, patience, lacking nothing. I love that. Joy, faith, patience, lacking nothing. Joy, faith, patience, lacking nothing. Well, we're going to see here, and actually, we see in the Bible that patience is also another avenue or facet of faith. Okay? All right? You can't be in faith but not have patience. What does the Bible say over there in Hebrews 6:12? By faith and patience, they will inherit the promises.
That's right.
By faith and patience. So patience is a part of faith. Joy is a part of faith. Faith is a part of joy. You know what I mean? They're interchangeable.
Yes.
Amen. And so you could honestly just keep using the word joy here. Knowing this, that the trying of your joy works patience, but let joy have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. It says, and if any of you lack wisdom, see, he's still on this same topic. It all started with count it all joy. If any of you lack wisdom, or if any of you lack provision, if any of you lack whatever it is you need, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Notice it says God is a liberal giver. That means generous. That's not his political affiliation. He gives all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in joy. Let him ask in patience. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Okay? All of this passage started back in verse 2 when he said, count it all joy. The moment your joy is hindered, your ability to receive is hindered. You can't receive anything from God until you are in joy. Hallelujah. You are not truly believing God until you choose joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Joy, you know, people say, well, I have faith, but I don't have patience. Well, what is patience? What does patience look like? Patience is the ability to endure long with joy. That's exactly what patience is to endure long with joy. Glory to God.
Amen.
So the first step in receiving from God is count it all joy.
Yeah.
Count it all joy. And now specifically in this account, it's talking about someone who's lacking something.
Yeah.
Count it all joy.
Right. Yeah.
What is it that you need? What is it that you're believing God for? Count it joy.
Yes.
Because that's what the devil's coming after to steal. And if he steals joy, he can take the rest. Don't you dare lose your joy because it's been a cold, hard winter. I hear people, I'm fed up with this. I'm sick of the weather. Good confession there. You know, I'm sick of this. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness. Listen, I'll tell you what. There better be more depth to you. There better be more something greater in you than just a cold February. You know what I mean? Listen, how are we going to accomplish for God if we can't even count the weather joy? What are you going to do when the real test knocks on your door? What are you going to do when you're believing for a home or a job or you're believing for your child, or whatever it is you're believing for. You better count it all joy. Because, you know, we have to understand your joy is not found in the thing you're believing God for. That's where people make the mistake. They say, they start to believe that the thing they lack, you know, because they lack that thing, they lack joy. Now, notice you can be lacking something and still have joy. You know what I mean? There are people that say, I'll never have joy in life until I have a child. I'll never have joy in life until I have this house or this kind of job or this kind of ministry or whatever it is that people believe. There's people that say, I'll never have joy until I'm married or find that perfect one. You know, I'll tell you what. Listen, if you start accidentally or unintentionally putting your joy on something else, when you get it, it will fall apart. When you say, well, and you start realizing, oh, my joy is found in a relationship. If I could just find somebody, if I could just get married, and not be lonely anymore, I would have joy. No. You aren't going to be married right until you have joy first. You know, if I could just get a job like that, if I could just earn more money, if I could just have a better job and pay off debt, man, I tell you what, I would have the joy of the Lord for that. No, that's not how you get joy. You know, and if you put your joy on something, I've seen people do it with something as simple as a vacation. Oh my goodness, it's been a rough time. If we can just get to that vacation, and if I could just get a week or two off, and we can go down south where the weather's warm, if I can just get there, then I'll be happy. Nope, now you're putting your joy on something. You ever done that before? You put all your joy in something, you go on that vacation, and you get there, and what is it? It's ruined. It's not fun. Oh my goodness, I've seen people put all their joy in relationships. They finally meet someone, they get married, and their marriage is hell on earth. Because they put their joy on that thing. You are to count it all joy in the time when you're lacking. They thought that joy shows up with the thing they're believing for. No, listen, when that thing shows up, that thing should be moving into joy. You aren't moving into joy. That thing is moving into joy. If you're believing for a spouse, listen, you're already in joy. And whoever that man or woman is going to be, of course, if you're a man, it's a woman. And if you're a woman, it's a man. Let's make that clear, New York State. And whoever that person is who's going to move into your life, they're going to be moving into joy. The joy isn't with them. The joy is already there.
That's right.
Because whatever it is you lack at the moment, it should be moved into joy. It's not carrying, it's not bringing the joy home. It's not carrying joy with it. The joy is already there. Do you get that?
Yes.
See, sometimes we think, man, you know, when I receive it, I'll get happy. I'll have joy when I receive it, or when it shows up, so to speak. No, we are to count it joy while we are on the, on the lacking side.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And what do we mean by lacking is what you don't have yet.
Sure.
Yep. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, let's finish up right here. Go over to Mark chapter 4 to show you that obviously the devil's going to try to come and rob your joy. But just notice this. In James, it says you can't receive until you count it joy. Yep. Because if you don't have joy, you don't have faith. And if you don't have joy and faith, you don't have patience. And if you don't have joy, faith, and patience, you don't have lacking nothing. You know what I mean? Let that person think that you not receive anything from the Lord. You're not going to get what you're believing from God until there's joy involved. And I'm telling you, you don't have to feel it joy. You don't have to see it joy. Aren't you glad you don't have to live by the five senses? So whatever you're going through tonight, count it joy. You know, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Just say it. Just say it. I count it joy. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be sitting around moping about what I don't have.
No.
I'm going to rejoice in what I do have. I have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is it about? This is going to be a fun illustration. Bear with me. What is it about fruit in a tree? I mean, think about a tree. It bears fruit. Okay, what is in that fruit? Seeds. I know. Don't you feel like you're in kindergarten all of a sudden? You know? And those seeds represent the tree's ability to reproduce or to have more fruit. That is why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. God gave it to you to, you know, to multiply and produce that love, that joy. That is how God brings you what you're believing for.
Amen.
You're right? Don't you need seed to have a harvest? If you want to reproduce and have more of the blessing of God in your life, you need to sow seed.
Yes, you do.
Seed comes from the fruit. Yeah. Love. I'll tell you what, the more you walk in God's love, the more God's going to bless you. The more you walk in joy, the more, you know, you're sowing seeds from that fruit for it to produce more harvest in your life. Amen. So many people, they're out there, they want to harvest the finances, and they don't see where joy is connected. But remember over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, right? He says God is unable to do without a joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver. Or the King James says God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
Why is God trying to tell the giver to have joy with it?
There you go.
Because it's not the money by itself that is going to reproduce. It's the fruit of the Spirit that's going to reproduce.
Yes. That's good.
If you don't give with joy, forget it. It's not going to work for you. Because really, it's the power that's in the joy that's going to reproduce. That's really, the fruit of the Spirit is not money. Money just itself going into a bucket does not reproduce itself. But when there's joy attached to it, there's a fruit of the Spirit. Right? Or you can say it this way, the seeds of the Spirit. Glory to God. You know, when you sow in the offering, even tonight, sow with joy. Glad to do it. Cheerful giver. Because that is what produces harvest. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. We'll end here. Did you get some help out of this tonight? You know, this is just one of those services where you just break some stuff off you, decide, wait a minute. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to count it all joy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go over there to Mark 4 and verse 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And it says this, Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. And he says this, the sower sows the word. There is so many sermons right there in that verse. The sower sows the word. Sow the word, you know. When you pray, sow the word.
Yes.
When you speak over your kids, sow the word.
Yes.
You know, when you give in the offering, sow the word.
That's right.
Sow the word. Glory to God. And it says, and these are they by the wayside. He's talking about the first soil here that he mentions. It's a representation of the heart. He said, these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. And it says, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, in the other passages of Scripture where Jesus talked about this, it says, because they understood not. And the Bible tells us, do you know why people don't understand the word? Because they don't do the word. Can we take a little sidetrack? Hold your place there in Mark chapter 4. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And let me just show you real quick what it means to remember the Word of God. What God says is connected to your memory of doing His Word. Watch this. Go to Proverbs 3 and verse 1. See? All right, Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Solomon's writing by the Holy Ghost. He says, my son, forget not my law. Now, this is what God is saying. Now, the word law could also be interchangeable with the word. It's the word of God. You could say it this way. My son, forget not my word, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You say, okay, I don't get it, Pastor. Well, hold on. Let's read it again. You'll see it. My son, forget not my law or my word. People think that forgetting is an act of the brain. But that's not what God says in this verse. He says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Literally in the Hebrew, it means let your heart do my commandments. Okay? So when people forget, it's because they don't act on the word. It's not, listen, you could remember all you know up here. You could remember every little aspect of, let's say, tithing. Okay? Because that's the one that so many people, you know, deal with. You can have it all up here and remember what the word says up here in your mind, but if you don't do it, the Bible says you forgot. So, oh, I didn't forget, I know, but I just didn't do it. God says, yeah, you forgot. You did not let your heart keep my commandments or do the word. Know this, that what if you don't act, you will forget what you know in God. Whatever you don't do, you lose. Yeah, absolutely. So go back now to Mark chapter 4 when Jesus says Satan comes to steal the word. When somebody hears the word and the word is sown into their heart and they understand it not, meaning they don't act on it. Right. They might understand it. They can understand the concept. Isn't tithing an easy concept? Bring the tenth part to the Lord. Yeah. Give an offering on top.
Sure.
There it is. There's tithing from the word of God.
Yeah.
We can understand that. But when we don't act on it, we're forgetting his commandments. Okay? And now, the Bible says that when you know something in your mind, the word of God, but yet you don't act on it, Satan will come to steal away the word that was sown into your heart. So what you don't act upon, you will lose. You will lose. That's absolutely right. You know, you can be taught on prayer, but if you don't act upon it, you'll lose it. That what I've been teaching lately about, you know, intercession, supplication,
right,
the prayer of praise and worship and so on. If you don't act on that, you'll lose it. You'll lose it.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Tithing, if you don't act on it, you'll lose it.
Right.
That's right. The devil will steal from you because you don't act on it. That's what Jesus is talking about in verse 15. And then in verse 16, he says this. He says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Or we could say they receive the word with joy. Now, how many of you know that that is a good thing? Are you receiving the word with joy here tonight? But now look what happens. Look what happens. Verse 17, but they have no root in themselves. So endure but for a time, but afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. What is the opposite of joy? Offense. If you are offended, you can't be in joy. And if you can't be in joy, you can't be in faith. And if you're not in faith, you can't have patience. And if you're not in patience, you can't claim to be lacking nothing. Right? See how the devil just has to get you offended? If he gets you offended, he gets you to a place where you can't receive from God.
Yeah.
Offense is a very dangerous place. It's the opposite of joy.
Yeah.
It's a faith killer.
Right. Yeah.
Now, they received the word with joy or with gladness, but notice that trials and troubles came to these people. What did they do? They didn't do what James 1:2 says. They could have counted it joy. Right? See? Counting it joy is your protection from offense. Because this is what's going to happen. You're going to hear the word. You're going to hear the word on healing. You're going to hear the word on tithing. You're going to hear the word on prosperity. You're going to hear the word. I mean, it could be the word of salvation if you're, you know, unsaved. You know, you could hear the word on a certain topic. And you at first can get real excited about it. And, you know, you could even start doing that at first. But then a trial or a trouble is coming to try to convince you to believe that it doesn't work. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy. If you do that first, it can't rob from you.
Right. Amen.
If you were prepared and said, listen, I know trials and troubles are going to come against me to try to change what I believe. You believe in healing, next thing you know, you get a symptom in your body. What is that? Trying to steal the word that you believed in your heart. Right?
Yeah.
Trying to get you to say, well, maybe this healing stuff doesn't work because I prayed, I confessed, and then I, you know, dealt with a symptom in my body. Or people start saying, I started tithing and my finances didn't go up, they went down.
Come on. Sure.
Well, yeah, the devil's going to come to try to steal the word that was sown into your heart.
Right.
You received it with joy and with gladness, but then the trial and the trouble came. You know? Yeah. But if you knew ahead of time, listen, okay, I know first of all the trial and the trouble is going to come my way because it comes to, you know, it knocks on all of our doors, right? But if I know ahead of time just to count it all joy, then say, if I just see what the devil's after,
yes.
He's after the joy.
That's right.
If he steals that, if he gets you down, then he can rob everything else.
Right.
It is, like I say, it's like a Holy Ghost Teflon.
Good.
The world can't stick to you. Burdens can't stick to you. Trials don't stick to you. Well, they can't because I'm counting it joy anyhow.
Amen.
I mean, what a way of just turning it on the devil's face.
Good. Yes.
You know what I mean? He throws a trial into your life and all of a sudden you get happy about it.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
I mean, imagine that. Imagine how frustrating that would be for him that every time he kicks over something in our life, we say, glory to God, I'm counting it joy.
That's right. That's right.
Because and therefore, I'm qualifying. For me, I'm lacking nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
Because if I'm in joy, I'm in faith. If I'm in faith, I'm in patience.
Yes.
And by faith and patience, I inherit all the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So what's the devil coming for? Notice what the trials and the trouble were coming from. They're, you know, coming for. They were coming to steal the word, and specifically the word on joy.
Yes.
The word on joy. Praise the Lord. So all I have to do, if I count it all joy. Oh, wait, but I went through this horrific thing, Pastor. Count it joy. But it doesn't feel like joy. Well, that's okay. The Bible didn't say it had to feel like joy. You can count it all joy. And see, the devil's going to come against you and say, no, see, you're not counting it all joy because it doesn't feel like joy. It doesn't look like joy. And you're kind of just faking that. No, you just say, devil, I'm just doing what the word says. I'm crucifying my flesh.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I'm crucifying the flesh with joy. Say, but it doesn't feel good. Crucifixion never felt good.
Never did.
I don't think it ever tickled anybody. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, it sounds funny, but seriously, I don't think crucifixion ever was pleasant on the flesh for anybody. You say, well, oh my goodness, you know, you have to remember, you are not up here. Yes, your emotions will feel the trial. Yes, they will come against your mind. Yes, thoughts will bombard your head. You say, I'm still counting it all joy, because you believe joy is already, it's in there.
That's right, it's in there.
It's in there. Glory to God. And since I have joy, I can count it joy all the time. And that's how you keep the devil from eating your lunch.
Yes.
You understand? Don't let him ever take your joy.
No.
Your joy isn't found in the opinions of what other people think of you. Your joy isn't found in a job that you do or you don't have. Your joy isn't found in a new relationship.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not where your joy is. You know, your joy isn't found in a vacation. Good things are going to come. Blessings are going to come your way. But listen, they're moving into joy. They're not bringing the joy with them. You understand that? Did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's just rejoice and praise Him here tonight. Father, we just praise You and worship You.